If you don't know how to nurture leads, don't do Facebook. Stop.
If you're spending money on leads, this episode might make you uncomfortable.
That just increases the probability of conversion to a booked appointment.
This isn't a marketing episode. It's an operation episode.
We reduce lead spend by 48%.
If you're running Google Ads, LSA, Yelp, Facebook ads, you're leaking money.
We took them from like a 40, 50, 60% booking rate to a 90% booking rate, like overnight.
This is AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros, the show for contractors who want to grow without wasting time or money. If you're in roofing, HVAC, plumbing, or any home service business, we break down how AI and modern marketing can help you book more jobs, close more leads, and build a business that runs without babysitting every task.
If you're spending money on leads, but not seeing the revenue you expected, this episode might make you uncomfortable. Because according to the data, and according to today's guests, the problem usually isn't the lead. It's what happens after the lead comes in. I'm joined today by Lynn Wise, founder of Contractor in Charge. And we're diving deep into one of the most overlooked profit levers in home services, speed to lead. Here's what most contractors don't realize. If you respond to a lead within 5 minutes, you're dramatically more likely to convert it. Wait 30 minutes, and the probability drops off a cliff. And the average home service company, they're responding in hours, sometimes the next day. In this episode, we break down why 70% of inbound calls have nothing to do with revenue, why booking agents and customer service reps should not be the same person, how companies are reducing cost per lead by nearly 50% just by fixing call handling, why bad leads are often mishandled leads, the difference between marketing qualified lead and sales qualified leads, how to structure your call center to 5 distinct roles, where AI actually helps in booking and dispatch, and why focusing on booking rate can increase revenue without increasing ad spend. If you're running Google Ads, LSA, Yelp, Facebook ads, any paid channel, and you're not obsessed with speed to lead and conversion, you're leaking money. This isn't a marketing episode. It's an operation episode, because marketing generates opportunity, but operations capture it. Let's get into it. What's up, guys? This is Mauricio Cardon. I'm the host today of the AI Marketing Show for Home Service Pros. I'm super excited to have Lynn Wise. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mauricio. Thanks for having me today.
So excited to talk to you. We're going to talk about many different things, but really going to talk about the importance of, you know, speed to lead and call handling and all that. It's a very important part of the operations and really getting the best results for the lead generation. In your experience, right, when contractors say the leads are junk, how often is it actually the lead versus how the lead is handled?
Well, so the answer is both, but let's talk about leads. So lead sources, let's just give an example like Yelp or Thumbtack or Facebook. Most of those leads are price focused. So if that lead, the intent of the consumer that's looking on those types of lead channels to schedule time with you, they're typically looking for not when you can come, but how much it costs. So you have to know the lead channel and the intent of the buyer. That's first. However, it's an LSA or a Google My Business, or I'll even say pay-per-click, different intent. Typically more urgent, more purposeful, need an appointment to get something done or an estimate to get things done. So their intent is different. So knowing what your channels are and how your channels perform is the first. The second part of that is speed to lead. It's critical no matter what the channel is. It doesn't matter because the consumer's patience are not very long, right? So they want to talk to somebody, or they want to engage because they're busy just like we are. And their purpose is to get something taken care of. And so if you don't answer in a timely manner, whether it's an inbound phone call or even if it's an email or a text, they're moving on to find somebody else to talk to. So their speed to lead is one of the critical success factors in securing the conversion to a booked appointment. So that is one of the critical things. The intent to buy is why I bring that up. It's also what's going to be the script or the approach that you're going to take on that lead source. Are you prepared? Because I can tell you, giving somebody who's looking for a price an answer, well, that's not, we don't give prices over the phone. What are they going to do? They're going to listen to you for about 2 minutes and hang up and go move on to somebody else. So we've got to figure out how we address the intent with also the person or the technology that you're using to respond to it. So speed to lead, having the proper call handling, the proper scripting, and the experience to convert that lead to a booking is critical. So you can't take one without the other. Speed to lead is great. You can answer fast, but if you can't convert because you don't know how to convert, different problem.
You mentioned something very interesting. The lead aggregators, right? You said Thumbtack, HomeAdvisor, Angie's List, these companies. You say the actual leads are more price shopping, right? They're price shoppers.
They want quotes. They want quotes. I think it's fair to say they want quotes. They're more, yeah, they're doing research.
They're doing more research. Exactly. So, and they're probably more in the middle of the buying cycle instead of the high end of the buying cycle where they're actually trying to schedule an appointment. That's why I think a lot of contractors, and you probably would agree with me with the statement, is that they've had negative experiences with lead brokers, right? Lead aggregators. But the funny thing is that you just mentioned yourself, you have to be trained on how to handle these actual leads. And the biggest home service brands all use lead aggregators. They all use them, right? They all use them and they all know how to use them successfully. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but these companies, Angie's List is a multi-billion dollar company. They have thousands of employees.
Yeah, they get there overnight for not knowing what. Right, exactly.
Exactly. So they have a bad reputation in the space, but overall, what I've seen is that you just said it yourself, right? So lead quality, they're more price shopping. But if you know how to handle that, how do you turn those price shopping leads into an actual appointment and make it to the sale? How do you do that?
Great question. I mean, if I had to kind of roll in how I would do it in our company, number one, you qualify it, right? So first of all, is it a project that you're interested in doing and you can book? I mean, obviously, is it in your service area? What's the price range that you're looking at for this particular project? Do you need to have somebody else involved in that decision? Is it something that is in the immediate future, or is this something you're looking to do maybe 3 or more months out? By the way, those kind of leads are not bad leads for any company, because if you have that type of contact in your database, guess what you're going to do? You're going to nurture it. You're going to follow up with it. It's not an immediate transaction. It's not a transactional. It is a marketing qualified lead, and you treat it as such. So even if it's a digital platform that's engaging, it should be proceeding with the same type of qualification, engagement and qualification. If it's an inbound phone call, do the very same thing. That goes into then a campaign that you nurture and you follow up with. So you do the qualification. The easy ones are, I have a problem, I need to get it fixed. Those are easy. Those are dunks. Those are typically, when can you get there? Do you have availability? And oh, by the way, can I afford you? Do I accept your terms? So those are easy. And everybody refers to, in this industry especially, I'm going to call it the big three. They always talk about, you know, the booking rate. Those are the easy ones.
Yeah, exactly. I have a funny story about that. Before I had a call center, and we were doing paid ads for a lot of clients. And there's one client that our call center booked like 25 appointments in 1 month, and they spent like $2,000 in total, which is like very low back then. That was really low. And the guy ended up closing one of those appointments, and the appointment he closed was there's actually a tree that fell on the roof. That's the appointment he closed.
Oh, wow.
There's a tree, little tree on the roof. Of course, it doesn't take any salesperson. There's a tree. They're going to hire the first person that gets there. They're going to hire, because they need that problem fixed right away.
That's right. But if there was a hole in the roof, he's going to shop it. He's going to research it and say, you know, how can I, you know, depending on the claim and all of that other stuff, kind of to your point. But this is about knowing the lead type, the intent of the buyer, and then how to collect and create the lead pipeline. You know, not everything is going to happen today. And so what I see, especially in the big three, they're very transactionally driven, right? So transaction, 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 transaction. And what they typically suffer from is nurturing of leads. And it's like, you paid for the lead, don't lose it, even if you don't book it today. And the other thing that I see that's absolutely crazy is that they talk about return on ad spend. Well, that's easy. So you take that $2,000 spend that you just talked about. I could have sold a $20,000 job off of it well, that covered the cost of my $2,000 spend. I would say that's the wrong way to look at it. How many appointments did you convert from the leads? Now you've got
a quick thing before we get back to it. I'm hosting a small private workshop in Miami Beach on May 22nd. 30 contractors max. We're covering how to turn the leads you're already generating to actual revenue using systems and AI. The whole conversion side of your business that most people ignore. It's at the Palms Hotel, $297 to attend. And we review every application. If you're doing $2 million or more and you feel like you should be further ahead, this room is for you. Go to contractormarketingpros.net Miami/event. Seats are going fast. Channel. So you would handle Facebook leads differently. You would handle Google leads differently versus a lead on Angie's List. It would, each channel would have specific training and script.
100%. Because it's not the same training as my drains are clogged and my sewer's backing up. It's not. Totally different training. And by the way, I don't know of any operators, home service companies, that don't supplement their capacity needs with paid leads. They all do, for the most part. You know, some of the more branded companies that have been in communities and areas for many years and have a brand name are lucky enough to spend less, I would say, in the short term. But you have to be relevant, right? And part of the relevant story is the brand and the capacity to deliver against on demand. So you can't do once one is, they're all important. And this is why when you answer, you know, I answer the questions like, I can't leave one out. They all count. They may be weighted differently depending on the time of the year or depending on the type of the lead, right? So, but lead aggregators, if they're not, they should be part of all of everybody's marketing budget. And you need to look at, you can't look at it as one unit. You have to look at it differently. So your ad spend is different, in my opinion, based on the channel and based on what type of leads you're trying to put in your pipeline. And if you don't know how to nurture leads, don't do Facebook. Stop. You know, do social media. Or if you don't know how to nurture leads, don't do Yelp. Stop.
Yeah. So Yelp is one of those platforms that you have to nurture. You have to kind of talk to.
You do. I mean, there's definitely repair work that comes out of it. But the fact of the matter is most of them are doing research and they're quote shopping. But I don't think that's a bad lead. Those are the lead. Those are the contacts that you build your brand around.
In the home services space, there's also a difference between emergency type of services. It's very common in HVAC and plumbing and roofing too as well. Versus the bigger projects. If you're replacing a water heater, for example, that requires people are going to be probably shopping around or they don't need immediate help. They might just, hey, I need to replace my water here. Let me look at what you guys are offering to see what the best solution is. And that's, I handle those differently, right?
That's right. You handle those differently. We always look at, you know, qualification of leads for the most part, is sense of urgency. So what we're talking about here is sense of urgency, right? Is it something that is a profitable product for you and that's what or service that you want to sell, obviously? Is it in the service availability area that you service? And your availability, what's your capacity to respond quickly? So speed to lead is one thing. You answer the lead, but if you can't get there for 4 months, who cares?
Yeah. So those are, that's how you basically, I guess every company is different, but that's how you kind of measure, you call it a marketing qualified lead, right? If it has those specific things, right? Urgency, project, timelines, pricing, and then the right area. And then if you can actually service it. And that's a marketing qualified lead. And most people don't even know the difference between marketing qualified lead and sales qualified lead at all. Can you explain that to the audience, what the difference is?
Sure. Well, a marketing call, just simple terms, right? Marketing qualified leads are what we just talked about. A booked appointment is a sales qualified lead. If an appointment's booked, it's sales qualified. You're going to go do something, whether it's an estimate or if it's going to be the repair requests or install requests that you've been booked for, right? Your job is to sell it. So then what's the conversion from marketing qualified to sales qualified? Most companies don't track that, I don't think.
And basically a sales qualified lead is exactly somebody actually spoke with them and then set the appointment. And now they're actually qualified for the sales opportunity.
They've worked through the qualification. location and they're a booked appointment. Those have the highest probability of sale.
Yeah, and you're still not going to close all of them. But you close, if you do a good job, 30 to 40% maybe of those.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in the HVAC space and in the plumbing space, and let's just think repair versus install, but a good conversion rate is about 60% from a booked appointment. 60 to 70% of what is booked should be converted to a sale. And we always talk about it in the terms of a sale being not just a dispatch fee or a trip to the job. It's also, what did you sell while you were there? You gave a recommendation. What was the recommendation? What was the proposal? And what did you sell? And if you left with just a dispatch or a service fee, you didn't sell anything.
So let's talk about speed to lead, right? Why is it so important to respond within, they say usually 5 minutes. Like, what is it? Why is it so important for that to happen?
It's consumer behavior. It's your opportunity to secure that opportunity to convert it to a booked appointment. If you're not in the hunt, and this is common, you probably have seen the very same thing. It's 2 hours later, or it's the next day that they're responding back to a lead that comes in via an email or via typically like a form, or even it goes to voicemail. You're pretty much dead in the water. You're dead in the water. They've already moved on. Unless that is a existing client that obviously you have a strong relationship with, which is another part of the equation. If you can get an existing client to wait on you, guess what? That's called loyalty. Different campaign, not the same campaign, right? So, but yes, speed to lead is essential. It's been proven over and over and over again in the data that if you don't respond to a lead within, I would even say 25 to 30 seconds, depending on where it comes in from and whether it's digital or voice, then you're pretty much going to lose it. Our program that we're launching this year, just to talk about this in the context. So we've been watching this over the last, honestly, 10 years, and we've never had a program specifically targeted just to leads to revenue. And so our program is to have a first call answer on 97% of every lead that comes in the door. That's big. That just increases the probability of conversion to a booked appointment. So it checks the box for the first criteria to be in the hunt, right? The rest of it then happens, what happens after you respond and engage. That's the other part we talked about. You've got to have the right training on how to respond to the type of lead, because not every lead is equal.
What tech or tools do you use to facilitate that? I mean, there's a lot of different tools out there. What do you typically use for your clients or for yourself?
Well, two things. So so I'm a co-founder of a platform called OnePath.ai. And it's really about taking the website and turning it into the conversion tool itself. So it is, its stack is a text-to-book, an online scheduling tool, and then forms response with email. And it's AI engagement first. And then we have, our process is, if that inbound via digital wants to speak to a live agent, boom, we transfer immediately. If it's a certain type of lead, let's use urgency as one of those things. So no heat, sewer's backing up, roof's falling through, it immediately goes to an agent. We don't even try to engage it and qualify it with digital. Now, if they want to stay in the digital platform, we can certainly accommodate that, but that's how it's designed. It is also stacked with a voice AI, and we look at voice AI as being a triage, not necessarily the first response. We find that, you know, in non-urgent situations, collecting information, et cetera, voice AI works great. But we also know that about 80% of the time, when the consumer has a choice, they will select a live agent, depending on the lead type. So you got to be aware of where that's at. We also know that the abandon rate on voice AI is about 35 to 40%. People hang up. They hear it. They hang up. It's a low-cost solution, but is it? No, not when you add in the cost of leads that you don't respond to. or even get a shot at.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of different owners in this space about AI and how they handle phone calls. Consensus that I've come to is that you have to have like a mix, right? Most of it's human during the business hours, but you also want to have it the ability to after hours and people, because obviously people are not going to, unless you work 24/7, probably not the case. Most companies, it's going to be, you have that ability to handle calls after hours or, you know, whenever that time. So you combine both and based on what I'm reading is that for AI to really like it takes a lot. Actually, it takes about 7 to 8 months to actually get it to work where you want it to be. It takes a little bit of work for that to happen. That's why most people still prefer humans, because it's, you know, empathetic with the right training and it gets better results like that. But it's a combination of both, because it gives you that best results that I've seen. Might change in the future, though. Who knows?
Well, I think that consumer behavior is going to change. So let me just kind of say that. I mean, it's like anything else. It'll normalize in the consumer world. But I'm going to give you the classic I always use, and you can relate to this. Auto response or auto attendance or IVRs. They've been around for about 30 years, 35 years. And if you say to somebody, do you like an IVR? They go, no, I hate them. Just my example. It's just, to me, it's the same analogy. Because guess what? An IVR is designed to do the same thing that AI voice has done. It's the same thing. So, but that being said, I think there is a right balance on how you use AI for customer engagement specifically. I think there definitely is.
Yeah, I think AVR, most people don't like IVRs, but if you're a company and you have a lot of volume, that might be the best solution, honestly. It just depends, I guess, on the company. It might be the best solution. And there's a lot of companies, all of these bigger companies definitely use IVRs. So it's just a way to kind of route the system better.
Right. They have to route the calls. And 100%. But I can tell you they have a bigger problem usually than the IVR. They don't know how to handle call concurrency. So they don't have enough staff to handle call concurrency. And that's why they have a percentage of abandons that they have to call back. So it causes rework, right? So that, again, how do you handle that? Have a outsource that is properly trained to handle your call concurrency. And I'm not talking about peak demand. Peak demand, all bets off, right? So when you have a weather event, all bets off. Everybody's got it. So it is what it is. But I'm talking about your 80% of the time that you're in business and you are engaging and doing customer engagement. You need to have a plan for call concurrency, unless you don't have enough business and you think you couldn't handle it for sure. And you know what I'm speaking about with call concurrency. You've been in the call center business.
Yeah. You recommend, because most businesses, they have an internal staff to handle calls and CSRs, but you recommend to outsource the specific, just the inbound leads, not the actual phone calls or customer service, like the customer calls, but the actual inbound leads. You recommend that. Why do you recommend that?
Because of focus in first call resolution. Unless you've got a staff that is dedicated to being a booking agent. And what I mean by that is, and you've seen it across multiple operators, they book a call and the next call they take is, where's my technician? When's my appointment? Can I get a bill? We just did an analysis on a client we're doing right now. And last week, 47% of their call volume, 47% of their call volume had nothing to do with revenue.
Yeah, it was just regular customer service calls.
Their customer service calls. I'm not saying you ignore them. I'm saying that you route them differently. And those actually, again, we've collected data for about 10 years. And what I can tell you in the HVAC, plumbing, and electrical space, about 30% on average are bookable leads. Bookable leads. And this is inbound voice. I'm not talking about digital. Inbound voice. That means 70% of your call volume is everything else. Vendors. Where's my technician? My part's on order. When's it going to get in? Technicians calling in wanting to know what their next jobs are. All of that other stuff. And you need to obviously handle those. I'm not saying not handle those, but where we're at in 2026, we're going to help clients understand what can you automate. So like in this particular case that we're working with this one client, they actually had their native GPS turned on for their iPads so that the client or the tech tracking could work for a customer. That's great, but nobody told the customer. So we're building that in the front end when we book an appointment to say, oh, by the way, let us tell you how you can keep track of your appointment and your technician. You're going to do it by doing this with the link, et cetera. So it solves a problem, and actually it's a more customer-friendly experience.
I can see that for sure can work. One thing that I do have a question on is about attribution. For example, if you want to track the calls from the website, it would be difficult to determine how many calls are, if you have, you know, how many actual those phone calls that come to the website are actual leads. It would be difficult to determine because like if you're sending traffic from Google, from the website, all that stuff, it's difficult. So you would recommend just having maybe the way to do it is just have it, if someone who wants to book an appointment, call this number versus another number. So you have multiple numbers. How would you recommend that? How would you implement that?
So there's a couple of ways, but I'm going to talk about the majority of who we work with are typically working. They've already got attribution turned on, whether it's with a CallRail or Ringba or somebody of that sort. They're using call tracking numbers today. So they've got several hundred usually. And so you can identify your paid lead lines, and you can, of course, forward those all to one single line, right? So that's one. So the call tracking is in the back end. However, what we are really looking at is what we're calling closed loop attribution. So how do you go from tracking to revenue recognition? And so we are doing that in one path today. So we can tell you the source, and we can tell you how much revenue was generated from the source because we integrate to some of the field service management softwares. We haven't got it figured out for everybody, but we think that that is the holy grail. So if you can do closed loop attribution, you've really got now the whole track, because otherwise, you're right. It's a gray area. And what has been done over the years is, you know, how did you learn about us? Well, everybody's going to say what? Google.
That is not the right way to track that, but people still do that.
But call tracking is actually the right way to do it. But you've got to call tracking is only one part of it. You've got to have the attribution of the source to include track it to the closed revenue side of it. And we track the dispositions by booking, and then how do you then tie booking to revenue?
Yeah, so there's different CRMs that have that ability. And you're closed loop attribution with the phone number tied into the revenue. That makes sense. So you can see the actual, and if you notice, I've been doing this for a long time, typically phone calls, right? Inbound phone calls are versus if it's a lead, right? Versus a form submission. Phone calls in the home services space have typically much higher close rates versus a form submission. And obviously there's a lot of people that do.
But I also think that is also not treating the channels different too. Again, even if I would say that digital will always, at least today, will be lower than the live agent engagement. However, if the more we perfect it with AI and the more we handle the different lead channels appropriately, the more effective we will be in converting it.
So you talk about the five roles of a call center. Can you walk us through what they are and why that matters?
Sure. We kind of talked about it a little bit. So one is the booking agent. It is a role that stands on its own. It has a high accountability to what? Closing booked appointments. They don't do other stuff. That's what they do. And you've got to have inbound. And then you also have, I'll call it the other flip side of it. I'm going to call inside sales or outbound. So that's the second. The third is customer service. So what's their accountability? It's to answer the questions that are related to technician arrivals. If you can't automate it, I'd say minimize as much as you can. But it's your customer service questions. So where's my technician? When's my appointment? Can I pay my bill? Dispute, escalated calls, problem calls is what I want to say. Customer problems, inquiry. I would even say that could extend into job inquiries and things of that sort. The fourth would be your field. So your dispatcher in the field management side of it. And then the fifth is AI. I look at AI as a resource today. The question is, how do you deploy the AI? Do you employ it across all channels? Do you employ it for different channels for different reasons, et cetera? So they all have different roles and they all have complementary, not necessarily cross-functional roles. A booking agent doesn't have to be a customer service agent. A customer service agent doesn't have to be a booking agent. In fact, I'll tell you, people who like to do customer service don't like to do booking. People who like to do booking don't really like to do customer service.
It's a different temperament, different skill set typically.
And it's also a different attribute of the individual, you know, or aptitude. I'm sorry, I said attribute, aptitude. And so, but yeah, it's as small business owners, this is a small business owner issue. It's not just a home service issue. Is that you hire a person to staff, let's call the phones, and then the next thing you know, they're doing bookkeeping, and then you know they're going to do deposits, and so on, so on, so on, so on. It's a trait of small business. It's not just home services by any means. It's the trait of a small business. And why I would advocate that, especially for your leads that are so valuable, and a percentage of those, probably 50% or more, are paid for. Why would you leave them at risk by not having the right resource attend those that particular channel for you? So those are the five roles.
What's the difference between dispatching and booking, and what does that matter for revenue?
In the plumbing HVAC side, it's really about dispatching for profit or optimization of route. It's the end result of a booking. So it's making sure that the booking is assigned properly to the right technician with the right skill. And by the way, if the company's goal is to dispatch for a profit, guess what? You're going to give the high valuable, profitable leads to your best technicians that can upsell. So that's the difference in dispatching. And it's also has a degree of, depending on the company, of managing the field on the results of the job. So some companies do what's called call by call. So they do run through a checklist. They ensure that certain things were properly inspected, reviewed, signed off by the customer, and make sure that they're closing the loop on that lead. So it doesn't need additional follow-up potentially. Or if it needs follow-up, what's the next step, for example? To include, make sure you collect the money while you're on the job, right? So that is also can be part of dispatch. But dispatch is really about optimizing the routing and the profitability of the appointments that you have secured.
Yeah, and the smartest companies, they know the routes. They have all of it timed in with the actual technicians and the routing, and all tied down to the CRM. So they know all those. It's data, really. At the end of the day, it's data. Understanding that data.
So AI, this is like the perfect world for an AI. So we have a component to our solutions is AI dispatch. And so we can optimize the routes. We can maximize the profitability. It depends on, it could be by job type. It could be by area. It could be by zone. And once you do that, you're really going to set it up and let it produce the results. But it does require monitoring and managing because you always have exceptions, right? Truck has a flat tire. Somebody calls out sick, etc. Those are always exceptions that you manage with.
Can you walk me through an example where you had a client that, you know, for whatever reason was not doing well with the leads, and then you came in and you reduced the cost. I think an example you said reduced the cost by 48%. And help them convert by to 37%. How did that happen?
So two things. Focus on leads. The first thing we did with them is we talked to their marketing agency, and the marketing agency took me through all the reasons why operations was failing. We did a little inspection on the hood, and I pointed out, well, that's all fine and good, but your leads over here are kind of shitty too. So, but that being said, that was our first step, is that we took the leads and focused on it. We took them from a 40, 50, 60% booking rate to a 90% booking rate, like overnight. So that interpreted into what? Increased booking. And guess what? You don't need to buy as many leads anymore. So we reduced the lead spend by 48% just by increasing the booking rate. It's proportional. So if you're booking the leads that you're buying, your ad spend goes down. So you get a double whammy. You get an increase in probability to sell, and you get a decreased cost to create the probability. And that's a live example. That just happened about 2 months ago. We're actually doing a case study with them on the whole back end and the five roles of the call center, to kind of to your point. But it just demonstrates the importance of separating roles and how a focus can change. And this example, I'll just kind of give you an idea. So they're about 100 inbound voice calls a day. And their leads they run on average about 30 a day, 35, 40, depending on what the weather is. And so you take that to a 90% booking rate. Now you've all of a sudden turned that whole thing around. And then you route customer service to another person. You take the focus off that channel and you put somebody else on doing the customer service. The example is huge.
What I guess they were using a lot of different channels for the marketing, but for that client. So like Google, Facebook.
Yep. LSA, PPC. Yep. Organic search, and then outbound reach.
What was the best result they got? What channel was producing the best result?
You know what? I don't know that right off the top of my head, but LSA was the best result.
That's my experience. What metrics should contractors track weekly to understand if their marketing is actually working?
Oh, wow. Great question. What are you buying? How many leads are you buying? How many are you qualifying and putting as marketing qualified leads versus sales qualified leads, which are bookings, right? So how many are you actually capturing and putting in your database? And then the other one is, of the ones that you have sales qualified, what is the result of the sales? What's your, and tie that out. Where did it come from? What did you do with it? And I think you know this too. In a lot of the field service management software, the bigger platforms like ServiceTitan or even Jobber and HouseCall Pro, you've got some of these tracking capabilities right in there.
As a business owner, operator, you have to have a single source of truth. Single source of truth where you can understand the marketing, understand what the metrics look like. And it's really about that. You'd be surprised. It's very, very relevant. Even bigger companies that do not know their numbers, do not know the numbers. And that's the frustrating thing about this is that at the end of the day, like if you are hiring someone, if you're not really making decisions based on data, then you're just lighting money on fire. Really, that's what it comes down to.
Especially in today's world, the data's there. Even if you have to manually compile the data's not so overwhelming that you can't compile it. So, but yeah, we are in our world. We do have a dashboard for source of channel and conversion by channel. And then we haven't tied this out, but we're going to tie out the closed loop attribution to revenue as part of our dashboard in one path.
Let's talk about AI. Kind of talked about this earlier. Where do you think contractors can use AI effectively in the actual call center? What specific parts do you think they can use it?
I do believe that digital engagement with AI is working. It's producing the speed to lead. It can do the proper qualification. It can also offer and book appointments. So the tool that we have, we offer and book appointments. We offer and book it in ServiceTitan and HouseCall Pro. And then we have what's called a standalone feature so that you can actually set up your own capacity and your own availability so that we can book on a common calendar and then sync it. So in today's world, it's not only AI to quickly need to lead and to have a greater probability of success at selling your leads or booking your leads. It's also, I think, a great customer experience tool. Meet the customer where you're at and making your website the sales tool that it really should be, other than just a magazine of your team and your videos and all of those things. It also is a sales conversion tool. It allows your website to be the sales conversion tool with AI being part of that tool set.
If a contractor listening today wanted to improve revenue without increasing marketing budget, what's the first operational change that should make?
Focus on booking your leads, period. Have a dedicated resource just to leads.
Where do people find you, Lynn?
So we have a new website going up on the 23rd, but we have our old website. It's contractorincharge.com. We are on Facebook, contractorincharge.com. We are on TikTok. We are on Instagram. All that good fun stuff, as well as LinkedIn. And you, of course, you can look me up too, Lynn Wise. And you can find me there. So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll put the links in the description below so you can have it there. But if you guys want to reach out to her regarding, you know, having a call center, like booking appointments, like she said, with the leads that you're paying for, then obviously you can reach out to her and get more information about how that works for that. So Lynn, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it also.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros. If you got value from today's episode, do us a favor. Follow the show, share it with a contractor friend, and leave a quick review. Want help using AI or smarter marketing to grow your business? Head to contractormarketingpros.net and book your free strategy call.